I want us to do a little Bible study. I am not going to preach. We're going to do a Bible study. A Bible study. So it means you have to write a lot of scriptures down. And you have to open your ears very well. I got burdened by reactions of, you know, people who are not members of this church and people who are not in the end time message, by some things we teach and we preach. And what I'm also bothered about the more is that there are people sitting down here, members of this church, and the foundation upon which we stand, they cannot defend it for lack of proper understanding, I believe. You see, Pastor Thomas was emphasizing something today when he said, he was quoting 2 Peter chapter 1, I think verse 5, where he says, Peter said we should add to our faith virtue. But add to virtue what? Knowledge. Add to it knowledge. You see? Knowledge here, praise the Lord, so that you can withstand anybody who approaches you. I have confidence, more than confidence, that if you gather the whole denominational leaders with their head as the Pope, that if they sit down, I will teach them what they don't know about salvation. About salvation. Confidently, I'm saying it's no pride. There's something God has caused us to know that He has hidden it from them. Somebody sent me a text after Tuesday. Little teaching we teach on Tuesday. He said, Pastor Alu, stop deceiving those ignorant people. Amen. Stop disturbing, deceiving those ignorant people. Another one, I believe that one is another blind and dead enter message believer who came here and believed that the action of us blessing water for people to use for healing and for deliverance, that it is unscriptural. You should just use the word. And what I say is, I sent him back a message. I said it in such a way that he will come and see me face to face. I replied him, I say, it's like this is a very revelated person sending me this text. It seems I have something to learn from you. Please, can you come so that I can receive more knowledge from you? You know, go come. What is the word? What do you know as the word? What do you know as the word? What is the word? The same kind of interpretation that the denomination has gone off today is the same thing in the entire message that has kept them in all that nonsense bondage that they are in today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are able to receive, thus said the Lord, if it is William Branham that blessed water for people to drink, then they will accept it. If William Branham said, the Holy Ghost told me to do this, and he does it, they will accept it. But they don't believe that that same Holy Ghost can also minister to another person to do the same thing. What is the word? What is the word? The word is, thus said the Lord. It is either written, as in the Bible, or it is spoken, as a spoken word of God. What we say is, it must not contradict the written word. The written word is the guide. If the Bible says, don't do this, another voice cannot tell you to do anything contrary to what is written. The entire message, we are coming back to the word for the word to guide us. A woman is not permitted to teach, no, it's sub authority. And a voice speaks to you that he has ordained you to pastor a group of people. That voice is an unscriptural voice. It is contrary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is how I'm saying now. Now, on Tuesday, I said something that I feel it was not that crowd that needed to hear it. It is this crowd that needed to hear it. It was in a summary form, but I want to give you scripture to just balance you up on this. Church, and what I want to tell you is that salvation is not for everybody. That's what I want to prove to you now. Salvation is not for everybody in the world. Praise the Lord. Salvation is a mystery. A mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2. This is how Apostle Paul put it. From verse 6. And I'm reading it up to verse 16. It's a Bible study. Thank God the weather is very cool. How be it, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How be it, we, the apostles, the preachers, speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect here is matured. Matured. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that mystery, the mystery of redemption, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But, verse 10, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I want you to understand the depth of that statement. I read verse 9 again. Verse 9 again. But as it is written, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But verse 10, he said, but God has revealed them unto us by who? By his Spirit. So they are no longer hidden. Now we know them. Amen. What God has prepared for us, now we know. It has been hidden before. Eye has not seen, ear had not heard, but now it is revealed to us. Amen. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 14 is important, we note it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. You have to understand these things spiritually. That's why You can accept a man be born again. He can never understand the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom. See, there is understand. Unless a man be born again. So it simply means, amen. There are so many people that preach salvation and yet they cannot understand what salvation is. It simply means they are not born again. See, we want to say some deep things for salvation. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That verse 15 is very important as far as my own ministry is concerned and generally the bride assembly is concerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. What that scripture is saying is, we are standing here because we are spiritual. We know when somebody is wrong. I can say confidently here that a denomination is wrong. A mighty preacher that they know is wrong. That the GO of a big church is wrong. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, but he himself is judged of no man. If I am judging others by the Spirit of God, by that same Spirit of God, I'm supposed to take a stand that when you come judging me, you will find nothing in me to judge. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Oh, Matthew chapter 7 says, judge not that ye be not judged. This that judgment, amen. He said, judge not that you be not judged. Because he went further to say, why will you go to remove somebody's moth, small spot in somebody's eye? Meanwhile, you your own, a big beam. What he's really saying there is, we that judge other people, we must live above judgment. It's true. Especially we the preachers. We that preach, we that believe in the entire message. You say the denomination is wrong, then show them the correct one. Amen. If not, that's what William Branham said. Preach me. I mean, he said, leave me the message, the sermon. He said, don't preach me a sermon. And that's why he said, the life we live preaches louder than the sermons we preach as preachers. And everyone that is a minister must have this behind you. That when you stand to preach, you are judging. You too, you must not be judged by any man. If not, you are not qualified. And I stand here as a servant of God in this ministry. Freely, we have suggestion box, we have anything, write it and put it there. And you see me doing anything contrary to what I stand here to preach, feel free to judge me. That is what the church is all about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will come and preach, don't fornicate. Then I will go back behind and have a girlfriend. Look left, look right. And you don't know that Satan will station a church member to see when are they sneak going. I don't need prophecy to let me know that I have more enemies within this church as members than the ones that are outside. Watching me, everything I'm doing, watching me. Because as I'm speaking, so I expose so many people. Then they vex. Sitting down here. You know, they will not be ready to repent. Instead, they will be saying, hey, you unko. Hey, you unko. So that they will be able to say, you unko. They carry torchlight and they follow you anywhere they go. You unko. We are all the same. We are not the same. Oh, I am converted. I am born again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we, the preachers, we are very careful about the life we live, where we go, what we do, because we are watched. But I'm speaking about the mystery of redemption. The mystery of salvation. He said it is hidden from the princes of this world. If they had known that mystery, he said they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And we that, amen, believe that we are converted. You have decided to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said we should add knowledge to that virtue that we have. You no longer steal, you don't fornicate, you don't do anything that is virtue. You make your faith attractive. Add to your faith. The decision you have made to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is your faith. Add to that faith virtue. Make your faith attractive. Now, in addition to making your faith attractive, people, because of the attraction, people will come to you to find out something concerning your faith. Your life has attracted somebody to come. He said, add to that virtue knowledge. It's the same thing Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study. He said, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah was the one that put it that way. Isaiah 28. Let's open it. From verse 8. This is the way he put it. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. He said, whom shall we... Are you with me? Somebody's... I'm reading Isaiah 28. From verse 8. If you look at the screen... They screen them there. If you miss any scripture, look at the screen. You always see the scripture on the screen. Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That verse 9 needs some explanation. Who are those that he will teach knowledge? Amen. Who are those that will cause make to understand doctrine? He said, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. What does breast signify here? A child, even medical science now, medical doctors speak about baby-friendly women. That for the first 1 year or more, he said, don't give the baby any other thing to eat than breast milk. Your breast milk. I think that is what they call baby friendly. Because they say, there's a way God created the woman naturally and put nourishment in her that breast milk is composed of. When that baby drinks that milk from the breast alone, it helps to strengthen. Look, the babies that feed only breasts, don't mind them whether they're fat or not. See, there is a Greek fatness. There are some babies that are just fat, fat, fat. Now, Greek food, a Greek food. All this funny, funny chemicalized food. When you just push more, it goes swell. Push more, swell. Inside, no strength. What that small, pekele, baby, when they soak only breast, they go, pekele, what it can withstand? That orobo cannot withstand. Amen. So medical science, they had to bring the attention of, this God is wonderful. Bring the attention of women back to the need. To feed them from the breast. This God is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And a woman does not have only one breast. She has two. Why will God not be sufficient with one breast? He put two. And for that baby, amen, to have strength, amen, he will suck. From here, when he tired, he go come to the other one. While he's sucking from this one they generate more milk, they manufacture more. When he finishes, he will come back here. Amen. Why did God give us New Testament and Old Testament? Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let somebody learn something. Suddenly, look, any Christian that will remove yourself from this unadulterated word of God and go into some man-made manufactured milk, manufactured food, canned food, no matter what the name is, no matter how beautifully packaged, if you drink it, you will never receive the right nourishment. And that is the modern Christianity you have today. That is the modern Christianity that we have today. Man-made, beautifully packaged Christianity. And people are drinking it inside spiritually. They are weak. Nothing to immunize them against the fiery darts of the enemy. Why? All they do is feed away from the milk that God has given us. Jehovah God, one of his attributes, his name is Jehovah El Shaddai. What is El Shaddai? El Shaddai is the strength giver. El Shaddai, direct in translation, is the breasted one. The breasted one. And he has two breasts. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, so you can see, people left the word, Christianity, they left the word and went off. And at the same time that medical doctors began to tell women, come back to your breasts. Come back to your breasts. Amen. That is the same time the Holy Ghost was telling the church, come back to the Bible. Come back to the Bible. Restoration ministry. Can somebody catch it? That is what Isaiah is saying here. Who are those that he will teach knowledge? Only those who are weaned from the breasts. Amen. Only those who have their source of strength from this Bible. And this is how he goes. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Oh, somebody is not understanding this. Oh. Eh? Is the rain disturbing? Are you catching what I am saying? And see how the Holy Ghost was putting it as Isaiah was prophesying. He keep emphasizing precept upon precept. Then he repeated again, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here, that is New Testament a little, Old Testament a little, here a little, here a little. That is how you will seek and have knowledge. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Concerning salvation, unless you pick here a little, there a little, unless you pick it line upon line, precept upon precept, unless you do that, you'll be confused. Five scriptures that confuse the denominationals. The first one is Matthew chapter 11. Concerning salvation. Concerning salvation. One more time. Salvation is not for the whole world. The first scripture, it says, come to me. Matthew 11, 28. It says, come to me. It's Bible study. Let's read it. The Bible study. There are Among other scriptures, I just picked five that came to my mind as I was meditating on this. Verse 28. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it is an invitation to the whole world. Come to me. Come to me. Everybody, come to me. Come to me. The second scripture is John chapter 3. There are common scriptures. You too, that is the scripture you too you quote. But I want you from today to quote it with deeper understanding. And I am not preaching some people out of salvation. What I'm trying to do by this teaching is to get you established to know who you are. It increases your faith. It makes you know that you are special. And it makes you appreciate the grace of God better. It makes you want to love this God better than some of us are doing now. That understanding is important. Praise the Lord. Now, see, John chapter 3. This is the way he put it. Verse 14. And as Moses, these are evangelists now. Evangelists, these are their scriptures. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, somebody shout whosoever. That is the language that confuses people. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I keep saying, church, that statement, he that believeth in him, and anybody can stand up and say, I believe. But he said, he that believeth in him, that's what he said, and he that believeth in his name. Oh, let me read it again. Let me read that portion again. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Therefore, don't condemn yourself. Do you believe? Say after me, I believe. I believe. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Say after me, I believe. I believe. Do you believe? Yes. So you see, you're not condemned. You're not condemned. Okay? He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he has believed. But he that believeth not is condemned already. See, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, can I break it down? Praise the Lord. Amen. You can't believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can't believe in the name until you understand the meaning of the name. Do you understand? You can't believe on the name, one, until you understand the meaning of the name. He that believeth on him, you can't believe in him until you know who he is. Amen. Amen. You can't believe. You can't believe. That verse 18. You can't believe in him to have everlasting life You can't unless you understand who he is. And church, you can never know who he is until the Father reveal him to you. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. That's what. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 says so. Luke chapter 10 says so. Help me read. Help me read, somebody. 10 verse 22.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All things are delivered to me of my Father.
Just wait. Let me confirm something that just came to my mind now. Let me just confirm something. Please. Say something. Please. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you. Go back to that Matthew chapter 11. Thank you. I will read it myself. Because come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, is a continuation of another statement. Matthew chapter 11. Let me read it from there. Hallelujah. I read it from verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It is after that statement he now said, come to me. How can you come to him when the Father has not revealed him to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? I love the way Matthew narrated it. He connected it very well for us there. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. And no man knoweth who the Father of the Son is, but the Son. And he, whosoever the Son we reveal the Father to. Am I correct? I hope I'm not turning upside down. Praise the Lord. See, only the Father knows who the Son is. When we speak like this, they say we are using logic. It is not logic, it is revelation. That is what one young man sent me a text. He said, I'm using logic and confusing the people. It is not logic. It is the deep things of God. Revealed by his Spirit to us in this age. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. Church, listen. Let me tell you something. The ministry of restoration is not William Branham. Pentecost is not 120 people at the upper room. Pentecost was the beginning. Those 120 was the beginning of the outpour of the Holy Ghost. William Branham was the beginning of the restoration ministry. It is the Spirit, not the man. Not the man. Hallelujah. You may not know William Branham, but if you have the same Spirit that brought this message, you will preach the same thing William Branham preached. Hallelujah. It is a spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say? You see, confusion. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are that prophet. Some say, and he said, you following me. Matthew 16 says so. Verse 17. Hallelujah. Who do you say I am? And he said,
Thou, Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him, Peter, you are correct. But let me tell you, Bible school did not reveal it to you. Amen. Flesh and blood, a human being, did not give you that revelation. But who? My Father who art in heaven. Why? Because only the Father knows who the Son is. So if you know him, it will take the Father to reveal it to you. You see revelation now. So when he say that even to them that believe in his name, that verse 18, where we read in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why does he not believe? Why is he condemned? Why is he condemned? Because he believeth not on the name of the Son. What is it about the name of the Son that you must believe? Amen. What is it about the name of the Son? What is the name of the Son? Jesus. You believe his name is Jesus? Jesus. So you are saved. So you are saved. So you are saved. You see? But he hid something there and came. Go ye and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the people who say they believe on the name of the Son, they reject that the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And if you refuse that, you are condemned already, because you believe not in the name of the Son. That name of the Son is the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You see where I'm going? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are nuggets that the Holy Ghost drop here to confuse those whose salvation is not meant for. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son had eternal life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided in him. Let me explain something. He that believeth on the Son had everlasting life. Do you believe on the Son? Do you believe on the Son? What do you believe concerning the Son? Do you believe on him? Are you on him? What shall I do to do the works of God? What did he answer in John chapter 6? Believe on him whom he has sent. Amen. Those who believe in the Son, let me tell you, there are people that carry this Bible, supposedly believe on the Son, but the truth is, X-ray their faith again, you will discover they believe not on the Son of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says, we, listen carefully, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Who is the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Do you know the meaning of that statement? If Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, amen, it means there is a building that he is going to build. The apostles were part of the construction of that building. That building is the church, the temple of God. The building of the church of Jesus Christ started with a foundation, but the cornerstones, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself was the chief cornerstone. What is a cornerstone in a construction? Hallelujah. When you are building a wall, when it is time to turn, to form what you want to form, the stone that will direct to where they should go. That is the cornerstone. Wherever it fails, then you build and go that side. When it is time to beg again, because it depends on the size of the room the architect wants to build, when it reaches, he places the cornerstone again. Amen. Can I tell you something, church? Solomon was building his temple. David was the one that gathered the whole materials. All the materials for the building, they were gathered in the days of David. He gathered them for Solomon to come and build. The Bible says, amen. It took David and Solomon how many years to build that temple? 7 years to build the temple. Listen to where I'm going. Every stone for that building was already prepared. Sometimes I sit down to look at that technology. When we have it now, prefabricated buildings. They prefabricate it somewhere and just come to the construction site. This one, cook. Amen. The Bible says that technology of prefabrication was long given to Solomon, to David. And Solomon came with those stones. The Bible says there was no chisel or hammer had throughout the time of the construction of that building. A perfect building. And that building of the temple is a type of the church of Jesus Christ that we go through 7 church ages, and throughout this period it shall be a perfect building. There shall be no schism in the body of Christ. Amen. There will be no jealousy. A prophet will just come. If you come to Bride Assembly, you will just fit in. Because this is where God has placed you. When you come there, you are struggling to fit yourself in. Fit yourself in. It is evidence you are not meant for this place. I don't know if you understand. Eh? A prophet does not struggle to see vision. Eh? You don't struggle to see vision. A pastor does not struggle. See, I have my sermon notes. They are only guides. 90% of what I have spoken to you now is not in my sermon notes. Just to guide me. When I stand here, it will flow. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I become speaking by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, church. Every stone was just fitted in. Bam, bam. It means among the stones for that building, it included a cornerstone or cornerstones. Already prefabricated. Just waiting at the right time, it will be placed there. In the body of Christ, the building of the church of Jesus Christ, the cornerstones have already been prepared. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16 says, there are 7 stars in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 7 stars, they are his cornerstones. By himself, he will place them. When it is time for justification, it was time for the church to be restored. Hallelujah. He brought Martin Luther, a cornerstone. Chow. And everybody was to start building from there. The just shall live by faith. Small time, he took the second stone and continued that building. Continued the 7 church ages. Starting with Apostle Paul. Who again? Irenaeus. Who again? Martin. Who again? Columba. Who again? Martin Luther. Who again? John Wesley. And who again? William Marion Branham. They were the 7 stars in his right hand. And Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If any man preaches any other gospel contrary to what I am doing, follow me. Let that person be accursed. He was the cornerstone. You are built upon the foundation of the apostle. Apostle Paul says so. Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. So when verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. Believe what? Believe what he is doing and what he is saying. What is he saying at any given time? Do you believe him? What is he saying at any given time? He that believeth on the Son. He that believeth on the Son. If you know the Father, you will have known me, said Jesus. If you know him, then you will have known that he has been speaking of me. He has been talking concerning me. Search the scripture. In them you think you have life. They are there that testify of me. They still will not hear him until in Luke chapter 4. He went to the temple and picked the book. They gave him the book to read. And he began to read Isaiah 61. And verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah, for he has anointed me to set the captives free and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it to the usher there, whoever it is. And he went and sat. All their eyes began to say, what in this man they talk? And he stood up and he told them, this day is this scripture that I have read now fulfilled in your ears. Why? Apostle John the Baptist, after announcing that this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, he that cometh after me, he's the one I told you, his shoe latchet I am not worthy to lose. He said he is the one that we baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Small time, he was inside prison yard. And he expected that the Messiah would come and pull him out of prison yard. Jesus forgot him there and was doing miracles, signs and wonders. John sent his disciple. I beg, go and ask that man. Is he the one we are expecting or there's another coming? Hallelujah. He was confused. The Bible says, Jesus said, the blind I see. What did he do? He referred him back to the scripture. What the Bible said, I will do when I come. Here am I am doing it. So what's your problem? Search the scripture. That the ones that testify of me. He said, and you will not. When we say come and read Bible with us, denominations, they will not. So you have people that have churches, big followership, large followership, big ministries, yet they are unbelievers. Joy. Was I too hard? No, what I say is not the truth.
Yes, sir.
Is the truth?
Yes, sir.
I talk and feel, I see you shake it like this. Amen. Because they believe not on the Son of God. If you believe me, then you will have listened to him. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is one of the scriptures. Another scripture that confused them is Romans chapter 10. That is the popular one. That is the one that they are ready to assassinate me if they can. But they can never assassinate me. Amen. Because it is time for the truth to be spoken. Until my time is due, nothing can happen. See what it says. Praise the Lord. I read it from verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, everybody, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Go and see musicians. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Why? I am saved. Jesus, Jesus. Bible says, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. You are saved. Amen. Amen. If salvation is that cheap and easy like that, then what am I doing carrying microphone? Eh? Now what am I doing carrying microphone now? What are we doing in the church? It's to be saved. That's why we come for Bible study. It's to be saved. That's why we pray. It's to be saved. That is why we go pray. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. What do I need the Holy Ghost for? If I can just say it. I don't need the Holy Ghost to say with my mouth and believe in my heart. I'm saved. I can dress anyhow. I can marry how many wives. It doesn't matter. I'm saved. I'm saved. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee must bow. He holds the key to my life. Why? I believe it. Did you say after me? Yes, you are saved. Salvation is not like that. It's not like that. See, even if you dissect the other scripture very well, Romans chapter 10. Amen. See, praise the Lord. Amen. See, verse 9. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Go back to Ezekiel 36. What is the first place for your salvation that God deals with? The heart. What does he do with the heart? He takes away the stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh. Until you receive a heart of flesh, you can never believe in your heart unto righteousness. Break it down, church. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But for righteousness, from the heart, you believe. The word you believe will lead you to living a life that is pleasing before God. That is the meaning of that statement. With the heart, you believe unto righteousness, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You are a Christian. Anywhere you go, no, I won't drink beer, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian because something has happened in your heart. And that heart, amen, amen. No man can change his own heart. No man can change your own heart. You can't change. No man has the ability to live a life pleasing before God. None. That's why he said, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. All have sinned and done what? Falling short of the glory of God. All have sinned. How are you justified? See, read that verse 23. Let's read it so that you understand. That's why I said today is Bible study. Romans 23. I mean chapter 3:23. Let me read it. Amen. Hallelujah. For all, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, every human being, all. Now, verse 24 is my emphasis. How are you justified? They misunderstand verse 10 of Romans chapter 10. Is it verse 10? With the mouth, with the heart, you believe unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, and then, once you just make confession, and then you are now justified by just opening your mouth and saying something. You are now justified. I say it is wrong. That next statement explains it. That's where I'm going. I read verse 23 again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Can you see where water baptism comes in now? So, it is not just a confession. That confession has to be based on a faith that you place on what he did on the cross on Calvary. That's what I want you to understand. I believe that Jesus Christ, if you confess with your mouth, what do you confess? I believe that Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior. When you say he's your Savior, how did he save you? So you are still going back to the cross. Amen. Amen. I just wish somebody can understand this. Praise the Lord. The fourth scripture they confuse is Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. We all know it. It shall come to pass in the latter times that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That is where he mentioned. Let's read it. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. All. Isn't it all? So all of you, all the whole world, all. Go to Mushi, all. Go to Dumota, all. Go to Kisha, all. Go there, Minister Holy Ghost. Go there, Minister Holy Ghost. And I pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, I was in the camp. We were in the camp the other night. When we took our break, one other group came to one hall near where I was staying. And they were ministering baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the man stood there with microphone, and there were many. When I say receive the Holy Ghost, just begin to speak. That is the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? Receive the Holy Ghost. Speak. I say speak. Yes, speak. That's it. Speak. That's the Holy Ghost. Speak. I stood and I was uncomfortable. For those people to leave Lagos or wherever they came from to that camp, it means sincerely they want the Holy Ghost. But a blind preacher was taking them to receive Holy Ghost. How can a blind man lead you to where you will get clean water to drink? He will give you poison. Anything that is liquid, he will say, "Now water, drink." When the blind lead the blind, what happened? Upon all flesh, I will pour my spirit. Upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. So it looks as if everybody will receive the Holy Ghost. It is not so. Finally, the last scripture that they misunderstand is Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." He that believeth and is baptized. You believe the gospel. Which gospel first do you preach before they will believe? And is baptized. Which baptism? Which type of baptism? How will you do that baptism? It must be put into consideration. But my fellow ministers in the denomination, do you believe? Yes. Start baptismal class. And all manner of interpretations. Amen. By the time I finish this message, where I am going to let you know is that salvation, because it is not for everybody, the true revelation for your soul to truly be saved is not given to everybody. And I will show to you that there are three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And each of them is equally important. Justification is the first one. It is to be justified, to be sanctified, and to be glorified that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost all flow from the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, unless your sins are remitted, you cannot be justified. Justification is the process whereby the sins that brought us to the estate that we are in now, that send the men, they left their wives and their families to go and do 3 days fasting and prayer. Amen. You know, we pray very well. We pray. I didn't know you people are so strong. Men. If you're not strong now, because you don't get problem. Problem can bring strength to pray. Amen. The minimum non-stop was always 6 hours. Can you pray 6 hours non-stop prayer? That's what we were doing in the camp. We start 10 o'clock in the morning, we end after 4 in the evening. Non-stop prayer. Your condition must change. Condition must change. Condition must change. When I reached the camp, I told the leader of the men fellowship, I said, "I didn't come here to teach Godhead. We came here to pray. So be prepared to pray. I pray. In our own problem, men, in our own, not even reach singles. So singles, if they pray 6 hours, your own will be 10 hours non-stop in our forthcoming camp. Where we shall go? All the singles, all of us, men own, 6 hours, your own non-stop. 10 hours. Now we go stand. From morning till night. Your condition must change. Because single sisters, now you cause them. Woman, Now you cause them. All this suffering we are suffering, going to Vichy, going everywhere. Now you cause them in the Garden of Eden. So your own, we shall divide ourselves in the camp into two. Women, we go one side. Men, we go one side. If man pray 3 hours, sisters will pray 6 hours. Praise the Lord. Nobody goes to such a camp and remains the same. Lie. We are going to pray. But I'm saying that what sent us to the condition where we have to fast and pray like this, amen, separated us from God, is sin. And because of that sin, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary. Amen. But he didn't send him for everyone because he knows his own. Amen. That's where I'm going to. Praise the Lord. He didn't send for everybody. Therefore, there are some people that are going to church. They have even ministries. They are church workers. They speak in tongues. They prophesy. They are servants of God. Yet, they have not yet been justified. Their sins have not been remitted. Why? And it is God that blinding them to it. That is the mystery we are talking about. It was God that blinded Israel. And they are still blinded till now. It is the same God that blinded all of them. And I will tell you why he blinded their eye and opened my own eye. There's a reason. Salvation is not for everyone. Therefore, it's not everyone that will understand what salvation is all about. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday, I will complete it. God bless you. Let us stand up.